Okay, good morning, everyone. On Sunday, we dealt with the fact that when you have a high, an elevated spiritual experience, you have to be very careful that it's not you enjoying yourself, but rather it's you're enjoying doing the mitzvah. There is absolutely no prohibition to enjoy yourself. And you can say, I enjoyed myself. I went into a pool and I sat there. Or I went into a hot room, a jacuzzi, what's known in Yiddish as a schwitz for those that are old like me. And ultimately, I enjoyed myself. That's fine. But don't say when you went into a jacuzzi, I feel that I am on a spiritual high. You are enjoying yourself and you have your God-given right to enjoy yourself. But when you have a spiritual experience, you have to know that it's because you're doing a mitzvah. It's because you're fulfilling something that has to do with spirituality and Torah and mitzvot. And therefore, you have to be very careful to identify it. And sometimes we can be blinded simply because we're at a wedding and we like dancing. So we could say, I enjoy Misameach Chasan Vekala. When quite frankly, you don't enjoy making them happy. You don't care who the bride and groom is. You enjoy dancing and call a spade a spade. But if you indeed usually say, I don't dance in the middle of the streets, but these are my good close friends and I want to make them happy on their happiest day of their life, that's Misameach Chasan Vekala. So you have to be very careful to know what a spiritual experience is versus when you feel high for whatever reasons it is.
Why can't you have both? Why can't the fact that you enjoy dancing make it an even more enjoyable experience?
Of course you can do both. But again, because you do both, be careful. Know what is happening when it happens. Of course you can do both. But you have to know what's happening when it happens. There's absolutely no problem with that. Bruce?
Well, I know Pesach, they don't want you to be hungry when you're having the korban or the matzah. So that you don't have this enjoyment other than the fact that it's a matzah. While on Shabbat meal, you shouldn't eat too much before because you should go in hungry to enjoy Shabbat.
All right, let's just clarify a few things. First of all, you're not allowed to eat too much before you eat the matzah on the Seder night. Right. So you should eat it with an appetite. That is a halacha that's brought down.
But don't you be
in the beginning of the 10th parak of Masechet Pesachim. Regarding a regular Shabbos and Yantav, it's a good idea. Rabbi Yehuda says it, and it's a good idea, every single Shabbos and the Erev Yantav, that you shouldn't eat too much, so you can eat the Shabbos meal with an appetite. But once again, it's to eat the Shabbos meal with an appetite. That is beautiful. I had a great meal. I feel wonderful now because I was hungry all day. Because it's Shabbos and I prepared myself for it. But if you just enjoy eating, and Shabbos is your means, then don't call it a spiritual experience. Call it, I enjoy eating. And I think you have to be very careful. And I say you have to be very careful because many a times, when you think you're having a spiritual experience, you're not. And ultimately, what you're doing is, God forbid, using the Torah to do what you want. It's not the Torah dictating to you what you should do. It's not you going ahead and putting your car on the GPS of the Torah, but rather you are superimposing on the Torah what you want to do anyway. And the halacha allows me to do whatever I want. So I do it, and I'll say, oh, I'm doing it because I'm a Jew. Who says you're doing it because you're a Jew? Maybe you're doing it because you enjoy yourself, and even if you weren't Jewish, you do it. And therefore, we have to be very careful when we see people dancing and singing and doing things, and we see them really up there. Is that a spiritual experience, or is that just I'm enjoying myself? Yeah.
Is this one of the rabbis who went so far as to cancel Yibum by saying that somehow they don't feel that people can do this for the right reason?
By Yibum, it was even more than just not doing it for the right reason. It was because they had the wrong reasons in mind. There's doing it because you're not doing it for the intent possible, for the right intent, and then there's a totally different realm of doing it for the wrong reasons.
Interestingly, we have another speaker, Meir Alfasi, who told us that among Sephardim, they do Yibum.
Not anymore. In Israel, at least, in the state of Israel, not anymore. There was a time, you're right.
If they do it, does it work?
Of course it works. It's a very complicated thing. You don't give a ketubah, you give what's called a shtayi v'amin, and then ultimately it's a totally different story. In Israel, they made a takana in 1951 in Yerushalayim that everyone would do a chalitza, like the Ashkenazim. And Rabbi Ovadia Yosef was vehemently against. He said this has no bearing. And he actually prepared shtayi v'amin for a few Yibum cases that he took care of. So ultimately it was done. But now it's not done anymore. As far as I know, it's not done anymore. Yes. Yes. You're not canceling Gedol Raisa Mitzvah. You're doing what the Torah says is option B. Absolutely. And sometimes the rabbi have to call that call because of various considerations. Getting back to this morning, what I wanted to add to what I said on Sunday is that when you have a spiritual experience and you've identified it correctly, in my humble opinion, one of the barometers to make sure that you're having a spiritual experience is if you can explain why. Now, if you're high, you're dancing, you're happy, you're sad, and you can explain why, then ultimately that is and could be a spiritual experience. Not in all situations. Sometimes you could say, I'm upset because the doctor gave me a bad report. But in many a times, you could, if you explain it, then ultimately, if you're able to explain it coherently and very clearly, then it's a spiritual experience. And therefore, Rav Amital suggests here in the book, on page 62, that when you're able to connect the mind to the heart, that is a spiritual experience. And he quotes Rav Kook, and I want to quote it for you, a very small passage from Rav Kook. If Sharla Adam Lachyot, Lo Basekh Levado, Velo Baregish Levado. A person can't live just with emotions or just with a mind working. You can't have two brains and you can't have two hearts. Tamit Sarich Shiyem Memazeget Asecherim Haregish Bechoveret. You always have to combine the mind with the heart. Now what does that mean? Let me give you an example. A very radical example. The Gemara in Brachos, the Mishnah says in Brachos, Keshem Shadam Mevarech al Hara'a, Kachu Mevarech al Hatova. Just like a person, Keshem Shadam Mevarech al Hatova, Kachu Mevarech al Hara'a. Just like a person makes a bracha on something good, he makes a bracha on something bad. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean Keshem? Just like. You make a bracha on a delicious apple, Borei Priya Eitz, then someone tells you that your sister died, Baruch Tayana Emes, has to be on the same level. What does the Gemara answer? Anyone remember? Lekablo besimcha, to accept it with happiness. Can anyone explain that? How you doing? Your house just burnt down. You lost all your earthly possessions. I'm happy! Happiness! Let me dance in the street! Everything God does is for the good! I'm happy! Baruch Dayan HaEmet! There's a true judge! Wow, let's do it! Want a drink? What in God's name is the Gemara talking about? What does it mean? Yes?
Could it mean that you're acknowledging God, Hashem Tashkata, in every situation?
Oh, maybe a person will come and say, of course losing my whole house is a terrible event. I'm not saying Hatova Hametiv. I'm saying Dayana Emet. God is a true judge. But what does it mean, besimcha? What does it mean I'm happy in my heart? It means the following. I'll put it in my language. Imagine the person that believes that it was just a coincidence. Bad luck. That person would be ultimately profoundly depressed. Bad luck hit him. Her. His entire family. But if you know that it's not bad luck, good luck, but there's a hashkacha, God did it to you. You don't know why. You don't know why you deserve such a terrible punishment, but it is on purpose. That gives you a little comfort. There is a reason for it. In other words, if you go to the doctor and say, I don't feel good, and the doctor gives you an examination and says, you have an ear infection, and therefore you're not feeling good, and therefore take this medicine, you still feel terrible when you leave the doctor. You may be in bed for 2 days. But you know why. You don't know why it happened to you. You don't know how you got it. But you know why. Now imagine that same scenario. You go to the doctor. The doctor gives you an examination and says the terrible word that doctors are allowed to use. Rabbis are not allowed to use it when people come to them with their spiritual problems. But doctors can use it when they come to them with their physical problems. The V word. What am I talking about? Doctor examines you, up, down, checks here, checks there, and says, you have a virus. A virus. What does that mean? Well, you have a virus, and therefore you're not feeling good. Yeah, but what kind of virus do I have? A virus that's giving you A, B, C, and D. But doctor, I just told you I'm suffering from A, B, C, and D. I didn't ask you who went to medical school, did residency, has 25 diplomas on the wall to show it, to tell me that. I knew that. So I came all the way here. I have a high fever. I'm feeling awful. I had to call in sick, cancel 5 meetings. And all you could tell me is, virus? Who feels better? The guy who was told he had an ear infection, here's your antibiotics? He's in bed with a fever. Or the guy that's in bed with a fever and was told the virus. Who feels better?
The one who was diagnosed.
The one who was diagnosed. In my humble opinion, lahavdil elif alfei avdalah, that's exactly what happens here in this Gemara. A person who is a believer that God is in the world, because his mind says so, and his heart believes it, and ultimately something terrible happens, and he says, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why God targeted me. But at least I know it's on purpose. At least I know there is a God that's controlling the world, and thus there's a fire in my house, and I lost all my earthly possessions. Feels better, by comparison, again, by comparison, relatively, than the gentleman who just says bad luck. And allow me to illustrate it with even a more radical example from the life of Rav Amital. After he came to Israel, he went ahead and, you know, toured the country, as anyone would do when they first come to the Holy Land. And he got to Kfar Etzion in 1940-something, before it was destroyed. And he met a person who he knew in the ghetto during the Holocaust, who ran away. And the way I heard the story from Rav Amital is different than the way it's written up on the internet. So I'll say it the way I heard it with these two ears. The person, I will remain nameless, very famous person, saw him and said, Yehuda! Atacha yemach shimcha! Yehuda, you're alive? Your name should be erased. What did I do? You were in the ghetto. You said we have to be ready to die, al kiddush Hashem, and that's what's going to happen to us. And I said, no, we have to run away. And you survived. You were ready to die. A few minutes later, he said, Yehuda, you remained a believer in God after what you went through? And Rav Amital answered him an amazing answer. He said, and if I didn't believe in God, it would have been easier? Who has it easier, he said. The guy who believes in God, saw God's hand in the Holocaust, but didn't understand what he was seeing, doesn't understand why God is doing it, but at least he knows God is in the world. And God targeted the Jewish people during World War II, for whatever reason. Or the person who doesn't believe in God is an atheist and thinks that mankind is the person he believes in. And look how mankind went ahead and totally and utterly disappointed him, to say the least. Who has it easier? Only if you combine the heart with the mind can you come out and say, I'm happy. What does the Gemara mean, I'm happy? Not that I'm dancing in the streets, I lost all my earthly possessions, but I know that there's a God behind it. I don't know why he did it to me, I don't know what the reason is, but I'm sure there's a logic. Maybe one day I'll find out, maybe I'll never find out. Maybe when I go up to heaven after 120 years, I'll get the answer. But I know there's an answer. I know that there's an answer. And that makes you feel better, ultimately, than a person who goes ahead and says everything's a coincidence, everything's by chance, there's no answer, it's just bad luck. And ultimately, now you can understand how a person who was hit hard, and I mean hit very hard, can come up and say the following. Last Sunday, I was still in America, and there was a terrible ice storm. It was awful. You couldn't leave the house. I was in a community where they have a wonderful rabbi, and the rabbi sent out a message by automated phone. No one should come to shul that morning. And you know what Sunday morning is in America, and how many people come to shul for the 10 minyanim they have. No one should come to shul. Rabbi Paskin, and he was right. He walked out of the house, ice like you wouldn't believe. There were 400 accidents on the highway near where I was, including one that was fatal, that you probably heard about. A wonderful, wonderful individual from Staten Island, Zichrono Livracha, was killed in a car accident on a way to a conference in Baltimore. And there was a hesped for him in the shul, the big shul in his community in Staten Island. I forgot his name. On the way to Baltimore.
Facebook
the Facebook Rebbe, yes.
Sorry,
Zechrono Levracha. He was, I heard wonderful things about him. And he ultimately, his mother came out and said in the shul in front of everyone, there's a picture of it on the internet, in which he said that I have no complaints to God. He gave me 49 years with this wonderful boy. A mother lost a son. That's not the way of the world. That's not natural. How could she say that? Only if she combines the terrible emotions she's feeling, and none of us can even imagine what it means to lose a son and daughter, with her mind, knowing Zemina Shamayim. I don't know why, but it gives you a sense of some comfort that it's Mina Shamayim. Now getting back here, you understand from these two examples that only if you combine the mind with the heart can you say that a experience, be it a high or be it a low, is a spiritual experience. Be it losing a loved one, or be it going ahead and gaining a loved one. Be it a wedding or a funeral. You have to know it's a spiritual experience if you can explain it. If you can't explain it, I'm just happy. Well, why are you happy? I'm just happy. Well, I don't know what that is. But if you can explain why you're happy, that's one of the barometers, not the only, but one of the barometers that ultimately can explain to you that it's a spiritual experience and not just something out there. Just to go one little step further on this same theme, you have to know that ultimately, when a person goes ahead and has a spiritual high, then ultimately he has to feel it, but he also has to think it. Rav Kook says, "Nidmela adam shu mitkarev al hakodesh shu mitlahev shu toem tam shel dvekut elokit." A person sometimes feels he's getting closer to God. He feels I'm really spiritual, but then he says, "Hadvekut hadimyunit hazara sheyesh ba'atzmi yuta lo b'mikrea nigud la'torah v'le'mitzvot haskalah u'derech ha'aretz l'shalom b'riyot l'shuv elam ha'erin yoneket mitumat avodah zara." When a person does something that's against the way of the world, that's against what we would call derech eretz. What's derech eretz, literally? The normative way normal people act. Or I would say civilized people act. Civilized people don't behead other people. Civilized people allow the other person to walk the face of the earth. So when you do something, and it goes ahead and it's against Torah and mitzvot, it's against what your mind would tell you to do, then it's avodah zarah. Because what's avodah zarah? We never know because we never had it. It's always a big question. The Jews always liked avodah zarah. All the Nevi'im, all the prophets had to fight against avodah zarah. What is avodah zarah? Many different opinions are given. And according to Rav Kook here, what's avodah zarah? When you do something that's totally and utterly against the Torah and the mitzvot, not only that, but against the way dignified human beings run their lives, and you think it's because I'm very holy. Can you give me an example? Don't have to look very further. Go right now. Put in the word religious Jew jail. Why are religious Jews in jail? They're not in jail usually because of murder. They're not in jail because they punched someone in the face. Why are religious Jews now filling jails? Why did I pick up a booklet that I saw? I didn't think it existed, but I just saw it. How to be Shomer Shabbos in jail. They already put out a pamphlet because there's so many Jews that are Shomer Shabbos in jail. You got to put out a booklet. Know why?
Money laundering,
tax fraud, etc. I can promise you that these people, when you ask them, how did you cheat on your taxes? They will answer you one of two answers. With their kippah on their heads, they will say, I did it for Torah. You know, I stole money, I laundered money for the yeshiva because I gave a lot of money for the yeshiva, for my shul, or for some other Jewish institution. Or they will tell you, I did it because I have to raise a Jewish family. In other words, they will always give you Jewish answers. Says Rav Kook, that is avodah zarah. When the Torah itself says, Dina demalchuta dina, follow the law of the land. When the Torah itself says, be warned that you shouldn't be dishonest in business. And do you remember what the Torah says when you're dishonest in business, what the Torah calls it? No, it doesn't call it the Chilul Hashem. It calls it exactly the same term that it calls homosexuality. What does it call it?
An abomination.
Toeva. So every single time I hear a rabbi that comes and says, if you're a homosexual, you have to be thrown out of the shul. I say, the minute you start throwing out everyone that's dishonest in business, let's have a conversation. Because the Torah says toiva about this and toiva about that. And how dare you pick and choose? Toiva. But the person, you know, very spiritual. I need to give money to the yeshiva, the Rebbe, and the yeshiva, and whatever it is. Let me steal. I'm not going to steal from you in the sense of I'll take your pen. I'll just launder money. I'll, you know, cheat on my taxes a little. A big deal. You shave here, you shave there. Not such a big deal. If a person cheats and says I'm a cheat, okay. An Erlich Haganov, as we say in Yiddish, fine. But if a person says, I'm not a ganav, I'm doing it because I'm holy. Because I'm a Jew, I need to provide for the yeshiva. That's Avodah Zarah. One more example of a spiritual high, that's Avodah Zarah. You ready for this? A person goes ahead, sees a woman in the street, not dressed to his level of tznius, and he spits on her. Find me one value in the Torah that says that when a woman is in the street and she's dressed not in a tznius fashion, you should spit on her. A person is driving on Shabbos, you should throw rocks at them. And I can promise you, these two individuals, the spitter and the rock thrower, will say they're doing it for Torah. In the name of the Torah, I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for the Torah. I'm not doing it for my own sake because I'm upset, because I'm angry, because I make my girls dress bitznias and this girl can dress any way she wants and that gets me upset. I'm doing it because I'm a Torah Jew. That's Avodah Zarah. And many a people can use the Torah to do what they want, when they want, and how they want to do it. And that is Avodah Zarah. That is not a spiritual high. That is Avodah Zarah. So to sum up, we said today two things. A, one of the barometers to see if you're on a spiritual high versus stama high is if you can explain it. And I gave the radical example of a person that says, Baruch Dayana Emet, and can say, I don't understand it, but I see the hand of God, and therefore I'm not depressed. And the second thing I said is, when you do something that's against the Torah and against Derech Eretz, either cheating on your taxes or throwing rocks at someone, and you say it's in the name of the Torah, not only is that not a spiritual high, that is literally what Rav Kook calls Avodah Zarah.